Welcome everybody back to Mind of the Collector. We're super stoked to be here again. One traumatic brain injury later.
It's thankfully we are all in one piece. Only 1 week on the DL, or I suppose the IL these days. But not too shabby, not too shabby. And happy to be back here, Joe.
One of my favorite places to be. We are As Robbie can see, we are not in the usual location. I am out
No,
in
we are not. Where have we teleported to today?
I'm in my kitchen in my living room at the table, not the dining room. I'm in the dining room at the table because of the AC. So
Oh, too hot?
too hot the man cave.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll get you. But glad you found comfortable situation here to record the pod. I am excited to talk cards after just getting off work, and I don't know, some exciting stuff coming through the eBay, keeping me engaged, which is always a good thing.
We won't get too far into that, so you don't have any competition, but
No, we will not. But hopefully by next time we record, there's a good mail day.
absolutely, that's the dream. Speaking of a good mail day,
Yeah.
how about a
Oh.
tops now, Tarek Skubal? This is just a base card, so do you want to know why I'm so excited about it, Robbie?
I would actually very much like to know, are you at this game?
I was at this game.
There we go.
Me, my wife, and one of my best friends and his fiance were at this game. They are Astros fans. I'm a Tigers fan. This was
Oh, that's awesome.
Tigers versus Astros with Tarek Skubal's fifth start to win that year. So we started the season 5-0, but we blew the crap out of the Astros this game, and Mark Canha hit a grand slam. So
Dang.
it's always really cool to find cards of games that you were at.
I think especially these days, well, first of all, cards of games you're at is always awesome. But I think that it gets leveled up by the fact that, like, nowadays you don't have tickets like you used to have. So these are fun things to have to kind of memorialize the games that you went to, because I know I always enjoy that.
Especially if we end up and we trade Skubal. I mean, this that I wouldn't always be a remember that I saw
He's
him pitch.
the AL Cy Young front runner, right?
Yep, yes, sir.
Yeah.
But when you start throwing like Jackson Holliday, MLB studs and prospects on top of that in trade talks, we might not have a choice.
Yeah, because what's your record?
Down in the dumps.
Well, then you may. I know how that feels, Joe, because I've spent most years of my Pirates fandom in that same location, and that is how the trade is how that ends.
We just swept the Reds, so I mean, in light of that, we have the Guardians and Dodgers this week. So
That's kind of tough.
they won on my birthday. I was at that game.
It's always good. Pirates have been kind of meh recently, but
This year, Paul Skenes start he won't be
yes.
starting the playoffs, but he'll be in the All-Star game, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, he will be in the All-Star game, as he deserves to be. 2.12 ERA through the first half of the year.
Yeah, I mean, dude arguably deserves to start the All-Star game, in my opinion. Just he's insane. All right, so
100% is.
we have some content that we want to get into, some planned content around conversations. Collecting and investing is what we want to talk about.
I would very much, I think this is something that has kind of been at the center of, I would say, mo I would say this content really was focused on in the, especially in the end of the boom era, and as we moved into a, well, maybe this everything goes up philosophy doesn't work so well. I feel like you heard a lot of this type of content, but I feel like it's been on ice for probably 2 years. So I think this should be a good topic to get into today.
I forgot. There is one more thing I want to say before we start, even though I tease the entire audience. I have something really cool to share. For my birthday this year, I bought myself some Riley Green game used batting gloves. So,
Yeah, that is awesome. That is pretty darn cool. You got, I think that what do they got? Yeah, Nike swoosh on both gloves because they're Nike branded. These things are well worn. They were not just used once, by the look of this picture. And that just makes it all the more awesome.
yeah,
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
I had a choice between blue and white. While the blue would have been a cooler color, the white looks so much more worn. I mean, you can't beat it with that kind of dirt on it.
There is a lot of dirt on these, and even like some pretty decent wear on it. So do you have any idea when they are from, or not yet?
My best guess is from the recent Angels trip in California, because the reputable seller I bought them from is based out of California. So they were likely bought in California. I don't know how many games they would have been used for, because, like you said, likely they were used for more than one. This is
I would say so.
the seller that I got them from is likely somebody that has access to like the locker room area, and it's like, hey, who wants to sell their stuff? And then the guys are like, I'll sell my stuff, because they just pocket that. So, and what likely bought it out in the Angels trip and put it up on his page. He has an exclusive deal with Trout, so he has a bunch of Trout stuff on his page as well. But
Whoa. So he definitely
that's
is well
another reason
connected
I
in
think it was from the
California then.
Angels series, is having the deal with Trout. So
Oh, then he's definitely well connected. That's pretty cool. Yeah, that was an awesome pickup. I think that, and I think that's the type of game used memorabilia a lot of people enjoy, myself included, just because a little smaller, so you're kind of closer to that card sized as opposed to like a game used jersey, which you've devoted a whole wall and the purchasing of a frame too.
For the record, I would definitely take a game used jersey.
Yeah,
I saw the gloves first, and the gloves are a little bit more obtainable.
definitely. And as I was saying to Joe, I think that, as I said offline, I think that the game used gloves are really a great example of a birthday present to yourself as opposed to a box in the current landscape. Sometimes the box is fun, but I think we'd all be hard pressed to choose between a box of cards and a game used set of gloves from a player that we really like. I think every single time we are choosing the gloves, I think it's just a no-brainer. I know I would. And I think that if your player that you like is someone like Riley Green, not Miguel Cabrera, not Riley Green in his rookie year, I think then it gives you kind of a fair crack at, getting them at an actually reasonable price, which is pretty awesome.
I gotta be honest, I missed some of that because one of my cats was being ornery, digging in the trash. But from what I did hear, the gloves will beat the crap out of a box of cards every single day of the week. I'm just about not caring what I hit in the box. I would almost always take the gloves over that.
Yeah,
Probably the
I
only
agree.
exception would be a Riley Green one of one rookie. I think just about anything else, I would rather have the gloves.
Yeah, I think I'm there with you. Because like even if there was like a Dynasty patch auto, I'd have trouble choosing that over gl the gloves. I don't think I could really.
And I already have a rookie dynasty anyway, so
Yeah, that thing's awesome. I love that card.
which, shout out Crazy for Cards LLC at the National Alec and I will be doing a dual submission to BGS to get results back during the show. He is submitting a Riley Green Dynasty Logo Man autograph.
Ooh.
And I'm submitting my vertical. So mine's a step down, but you know, I figured it'd be great for the content. So that will be something I'm excited to share here, what grade his and mine get. So
that's awesome. Yeah, that should be very fun.
Yeah, I can't wait for, we're both going to get it back. We're going to be there and, you know, unbox it together at the same time. So we're very much looking forward to it.
So you're going to the National here, Joe.
Yeah, I would not miss it. I had to miss it last year with getting the house and everything. It was too much. But this year, there's no way I'm missing it. It's basically in my backyard. So
I don't want to get too off the beaten path, but if you could give us briefly what's your plan for the National this year? What are you hoping to accomplish? Fun, cards,
people,
like people. Yeah. People.
I've been really fortunate. I've had a really good year in collecting, above and beyond what I could have possibly expected. So I don't think that there's a big PC item that could like put me over, you know, the joy level I'm at cards right now. So I think the bigger target for that space of time that I'm going to be there is going to be the people.
Yeah, the people are fun. I definitely enjoy that. And quite honestly, in the longer run, the people kind of pay it back to you in terms of cards too. Because the people are, I mean, if you are a pretty focused collector, Joe, I mean, really, I would say Tigers, Riley Green, Miguel Cabrera, I'd be like, Joe needs to see this, you know, and you've got a ton of people out there, kind of your eyes and ears on the ground, basically, you know, all over looking for you. I've had people reach out to me before, you know, be like, hey, saw this, wanted to make you aware. And that's the best feeling.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you could meet these people and make friendships, and then, you know, they come into something and they will message you first and ask you if you are interested first. Not saying that's why you make the friendships, genuinely not, but it always pays off.
Yeah, it does. Oh, just like an added bonus.
Absolutely. Okay, now we need to get into this content.
All right, Joe, let's get it.
All right, so this conversation is going to be based around how having a collecting mindset affects your investing purchases. And this is something that I've really been thinking about during this. I'll call it waves. I have waves where I'm like selling, buying and selling, and then waves where I'm collecting. I'm definitely in a buying and selling wave right now, but I'm taking a much different approach to it. This time I'm buying really stuff that I enjoy, like a Jokic Select Auto and a Champ Bailey dual patch.
Yeah, that one's cool.
And then one of the coolest cards I've ever owned, a Devin Hester Prism Silver 2012 PSA 10.
Yeah, I love that.
So I want to dig inside of our minds and see how we think having a collecting mindset first affects the investing purchases.
So I think you kind of just said it right there, first of all, right? That you, I mean, I think we've talked about this some in the past, and I've said to you, you know, like, what are you looking for in these shows? And you've said, or like when you go up to a table, and you've said to me in the past, well, I'm looking for anything that works price-wise, you know. But I think at the same time, as you kind of voice there, maybe some of the stuff that just kind of draws your eye in the dealer's case, you know, especially if we're talking about a case that's not stickered, right, where, you know, impulse type buys aren't jumping off the page, you kind of gravitate towards that stuff that you actually like. I think that kind of does drive the investing behavior. It makes it a slippery slope because sometimes it makes it harder to get rid of. But That quick buy, yeah. There it is. The Riley Green orange was it? I think it's an orange. Is it true orange or orange sapphire? Maybe
Orange wave.
Oh, orange wave, still floating around. Yeah, it makes it hard to get rid of some stuff, but I think it makes the actually buying and flipping way more fun, because the reason I enjoy it is because you get to have cards in hand, you get to enjoy cards that you like, and you still get the chance to make a couple bucks while you're at it. That's what it's all about for me, because the enjoying cards and having them in hand is part of the fun of it all, and part of what fuels the desire to keep doing it, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's definitely something I've learned. And I think that's why I go through waves of it so much, is because when I buy stuff that I don't enjoy, I get burnt out and I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
And I just want to go back to buying what I like. But if I can try to balance both at the same time without going too much on, you know, the collecting end, it definitely makes it more sustainable, in my opinion.
It definitely is. Like, because if you said to me, I could go to a card show this weekend and I could buy Shohei Ohtani cards, his base chromes from 2018, and I was going to buy those and I was going to make a margin of, like, when all was said and done, like 5 to 10% on them, I really don't think that would be very exciting to me. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun. Sounds just like some work, to be honest. You know, if you end up buying that type of stuff, it just doesn't excite me. Looking up comps on random Bowman Chrome guys who I have no idea who the heck they are, like, that doesn't excite me. But if you said to me, you're going to go to a show and you're going to look at Penguins patch autographs and maybe you'll find some deals and you'll be able to make 10% on it when it's all said and done, I'd be like, that sounds like a wonderful time. Like, sign me up for that, because that's what I've always enjoyed the most.
That makes total sense. What I enjoy the most is walking out to a table and seeing a card that in my head I have seen before and been like, oh, that's a really cool card. I would love the chance to buy that. And then it's sitting at a table. I work out a deal for it. I don't plan to keep it, but I can enjoy it while I have it. And this is a perfect example of that.
The enjoy it while you have it is a very, very real thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
So I saw that on Instagram a couple of days before the Dayton card show. And I'm like, that's cool. I would love to have that. And I bought it in Dayton. So
how often, and I, in full disclosure to all listeners, I found that I have not really been in the buy and flip for a little bit. It's too much work with how busy I've been recently, and it started to detract from some of the joy of just the collecting for me. So I haven't really been in this game like Joe has, but I used to be in it quite a bit. So I've got a question. Have you ever sold any cards that you regret selling from, you know, this kind of buy and flip, like something that you bought, sold for maybe a little bit of a profit or a lot of profit, and then you just were kind of like, like, I wish I hadn't taken that profit. I wish I still had that card. Because for me, not a ton really come to mind from that type of thing.
Yeah, not, I can't really think of anything. I've owned some cool stuff, but
yeah,
if I buy it with the mindset to move it, a lot of the time that doesn't really affect it.
Yeah.
You know, the only things that I really think I miss are things that I meant to keep and then decided that I needed room in my collection for other things and sold said things off and missed them greatly. I'm talking about cards specifically.
Talking about one card specifically?
Yeah. I had a Topps Supreme Tom Brady 2 or 3 color patch autograph, number 95. And I miss that card almost every day.
Dang. Yeah, those are the
strong card, but it was this one of those stickers that you can barely notice it's a sticker.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Supreme was a pop, was kind of an interesting, cool set back in the day. We got a little cat action going on here in the Zoom. I like it. But yeah, I've had that similar experience. Although I will say I've gotten nostalgic for some of the cards that I used to buy on Flip, which is weird. But I have gotten nostalgic for them, like ones that are now 5 years old, like Zion base courtsides, Luka second year courtsides. I've gotten oddly nostalgic for these.
One card that comes to mind, I'm not saying I miss it, but it was really, really cool to have. I had, I believe it was a 2019 Topps Chrome Sapphire Bryce Harper autograph, orange out of 25. And that was a really cool card. In the picture on the card, he was like loading up for a swing. And they had the signature at the bottom, and then the orange sapphire all over it. It was an incredible card.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sapphire just pops too.
Yes, it does. So, here's a good question. I have my answer to this, so I'll ask you, and then I'll give my answer. When selling a card, how much does it ending up in the right home matter? Like, are you willing to take less of a profit if you know for sure it's going to a better home?
Top for me. I would say back in the day, the stuff that I was flipping didn't really have a right home. I would say that a Mike Trout update, a Luka Doncic courtside, my tons of Matt Icy Ice cards did this in way bigger volume than I did, but my 2018 Panini Revolution LeBron James PSA 10s. My Jaren PSA 10 silvers, those didn't really have a right home. There were tons of them available. So that never really entered my thought. And for those, unless it was a really close friend asking, I don't think it moved the needle. If I got a DM from someone being like, yo, I'm a big LeBron collector. Like, could you do a couple bucks off for me? Like, I would have said no. But on some of this other stuff, like my cards that I have now, I would say almost all of them classify as things that could fit in a like right home. Scarcer cards, more niche cards. And I think it does matter actually to me because especially as you hold cards and you get kind of attached to them, it kind of matters to you that they go to someone who will also enjoy them. And it's part of the fun of the collecting community for me. So I think it actually does matter to me on the scarce stuff, but on stuff that's not scarce, it does not matter. That's my philosophy.
I'm with you there. I've been really fortunate on a lot of the really cool stuff that I own that somebody has given me a right home discount. So I always try to pay that forward when I'm moving because, like I said, what I'm buying now, like this probably won't have a right home, the Gunner,
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
but like this, the Jokic and the Riley Green might. The Riley Green,
Yeah.
that might even be in my home. I don't that.
Exactly.
I try to pay it forward when I can, but like you kind of said, there's more of that base stuff out there, so that doesn't really have a right home or an end game.
I've interestingly also found that the kind of right home discount, while sometimes that doesn't exist with people, sometimes there's the right home card is now actually available option. Like this was totally not available, but for the right home, it could become available, which is different. And I think that is something that I would say most collectors are open to. I've gotten cards that way. I mean, my Ian Book Prism Finite Rookie, which has these days a relatively small pool of interested folks, but which I got from Card Collector too. You know, I saw it on his YouTube, hit him up, you know, and asked about it. And that was a situation where I did a cash and trade with him, and he never would have done cash and trade really if it wasn't a right home scenario. And he kind of said it on his channel, you know, he's like, I don't like to trade over IG with people, but this was a scenario where there was someone, you know, an alum, someone who really collected Notre Dame, really wanted this card. So I made it available via cash and trade through an IG exchange. And I actually had someone who's interested in that same card who, because of how interested they are, it's a, well, maybe it's now available just because you're a right home type of thing. That's actually a wild story. I told the guy I'm going to pass for now. He has the entire rainbow except for the neon fluorescent out of five and neon, or the neon green or fluorescent green. I don't remember which. Except for that and the finite, which is wild.
That is really awesome. I think you touched on that last episode ish, somewhere around there.
And yeah.
If that ever gets moved, I expect an update on the pod.
Oh, you would 100% get an update. I would also hopefully have a nice hoard war chest coming home, which would be exciting.
Absolutely. So, do we have anything else that we wanted to cover in the collecting and investing?
Well, I think that about covers it. I guess just the outlook for you, I might be kind of interested. You say you kind of go in waves. What stops this wave for you? This buying and flipping wave? What brings it to an end and what ushers in a different wave for you? I think that's kind of interesting to discuss.
That's a really good question, honestly. Usually what stops it is, like I said, I get burnt out from buying stuff that I don't really like, or something wonderful happens.
Yeah.
Like a Miguel Cabrera superfractor is what happened last time. I'm not going to see that card again. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
That kind of had to put the flipping on hold until I recouped some of those funds. Because I had to sell off the inventory and some PC to even get that card. Then I had to get to a point where I had the ready funds to start buying and selling again. So that was really what stopped it. And then on top of that, I was buying a house and getting married and getting a dog, you know. So
yeah, it's a lot of stuff going on at one time.
Yeah, it was awesome though. I love the way it happened. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. You make a fair point there. I think that that's something that's kind of hindered me from getting back in the buying and flipping. Like it's hard to get that bankroll up when you have to resist some cards that have kind of been on the want list, and where you draw that line is tough. You know, for me, the cards that I really, really want aren't one of ones. So, like, there's still a chance that they kind of crop up, you know, at an okay amount of time, like every couple months. And then, yeah, it's tough. Like, I haven't been able to kind of get past that point where you just have put off buying stuff for so long to get yourself a little bit of a bankroll. I think that's a great point, and how a big, big, exciting eBay save search hitting could be the end of the buying and flipping days for a little bit.
One thing that has kept me coming back to flipping though is I really want to open a card shop someday. And if I do not have the excess funds to do so, that will not happen. So
yeah,
in order to make that happen, I have to make it happen. So that will always keep me back to buying and selling. But I try my hardest to do it the right way and make sure I get cards that need to be places in those places. I have already several times taken less money than I could have in this new wave, getting close to people that want them more.
Yeah. That, and that's very admirable. And I would say something that it kind of is a differentiator in terms of character. And I think in terms of long-term success, because people don't forget that.
Like my buddy, Alex, who, shout out to him, he just invited me to his wedding. So I'm excited to be out in Chicago for his wedding.
Awesome.
He is a big Bears fan, and his favorite Bears player of all time is this guy. So
let's go.
That will likely end up with him if he's interested. I don't know how interested he is in that, but I know he really likes that player, so
yeah,
could be going to him. But that would likely be moved to a Bears fan, because this is a top three and it's a very desired card, so this will likely end up being moved to a Bears fan, and I'm fine with enjoying it until it is.
Yep. I think that's a good attitude. The being fine with enjoying some of those cards until they find the right home, I think, is kind of key to the buying stuff that's cool as a collector and not just the super, super liquid stuff, because sometimes it takes a little bit to turn it, but it can all be worth it once you find the right person.
Absolutely. And when I was in the Detroit for the Detroit show, I was sitting at a table with a Riley Green fan. We were talking about baseball. He was wearing a Riley Green jersey, actually. I ended up moving, what was it? I had moved one of my RPAs to Tyler Santiago. And then I was sitting at the table with the Riley Green fan. And I said, I told myself, I'm bringing both these RPAs, whichever one I don't move, I will keep. He did not have one. He went to the show to buy one, and he had forgot his inhaler. So it was to the point for him that he was getting hard for him to walk around the show. And I ended up selling him the other RPA. So I made sure, and I took a discount. So I made sure that went to the right home.
That's awesome.
I would have sold him this too, but at the time I was going to grade it, and I have since found out that it's probably not going to PSA. So I may hit him back up and see if he wants this.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Because I have the gold sapphire, so I don't need it.
I am going to make a hot take here that I think I prefer orange parallels over gold parallels and Topps Chrome. Yeah. I think I'm the minority, but orange is always the parallel that kind of had my heart from Topps Chrome back in the day. I always thought orange was the coolest.
I think orange on the away jersey would be really cool. Just on the home jersey, it doesn't look as good as it could, you know.
That's fair. It's getting into the finer details of the aesthetics.
Oh, when you have a collection like mine, it has to get down to the fine details. You keep everything.
Yeah, that's valid. I think mine is usually more of an eyeball test, just kind of an eyeball test of, usually it starts with the memorabilia on the card, because usually it's all memorabilia, or just an eye test of, this thing looks absolutely awesome. But I don't buy a ton of parallels, so I haven't gotten into that world very much these days.
I just got a notification that Javi Baez has been activated off of the IL, so we'll see how that goes.
I don't know how to feel about that. Maybe you should stay there.
I'll tell you, he's better than Ryan Kreidler, so that's sort of an upgrade, actually. I can't believe I said that.
I can't believe I'm hearing anyone say that.
I mean, Mr. Batting 187.
Yeah, that's pretty awful. Well, I wish you and your Tigers some better fortunes.
We need all the fortunes we can get this week, or because we have a 7-game week this week before the All-Star break, and it's Guardians Dodgers. So
7 games is pretty nuts.
We could go 0-7 this week. That's a real reality.
Yes. I'm sorry to say it, but yes, it is.
And that would be really rough after getting some momentum sweeping the Reds. So I hope that my legit best aspiration is 500 baseball this week.
So we're going to root for. I'll be waiting for your IG posts of the Dubs, the story posts where you repost the Tigers. I'll be waiting.
Every time I win. That's why I know. It's very often.
That's how I know if you guys win.
Huh?
That's how I know if you win, if the Tigers win. I wait for that story post from you.
Right.
Anyways, I think that might wrap us up here, eh?
Yeah, I don't think I have anything to add.
I don't think I do either.
All right, you want to sign us off?
Yeah, that's the Mind of the Collector this week. We hope you guys all enjoyed. There will be more coming, some guests in the future, and yeah, just stay tuned for more. Thank you all for listening.